Hallelujah. You know, that's what you do when you're free, right? You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many prison movies I see, and the guy just walks out. Oh, man, I wish I could go back. Man, a lot of them are running. I even passed a guy today I know just got out of jail, and he was heading north. He was getting as far away from jail as he could. So when we're free, we're supposed to act free. We're supposed to be free. We're supposed to think free. Free thoughts. You know, how many of you, many of you saw Shawshank Redemption, right? I can't remember the character, but he got let out after almost a lifetime of being in prison, the older guy, his librarian. He killed himself, right? Because he couldn't think free. He was stuck back here. He was stuck in prison so long, he no longer knew how to be free. And that's what God has been trying to get back to us for centuries, folks. Centuries. And about the time the church gets to where it's almost really free, it finds a way to slip. And primarily what we do is we kick God out of church. I see a meme floating around on Facebook. It says, forget putting Christ back in Christmas. I want to see Christ back in Christians. Amen. Christmas is, if we're going to get technical, is a pagan holiday. Okay, the whole thing. But what we have to focus on is the fact we're celebrating what God did for us. Okay? But how about we start acting like Christians all the time? Not just coming into here. And I ain't, y'all know me. I'm not telling you to go out there and start preaching to everybody, quoting scripture up and down. Listen, I don't care how much scripture you can quote until I know how much you love people. Because a lot of people that can quote you the Bible don't know how to love. Because this is why God really didn't care for everything to have to be written down. If it's written down, you'd live a regimented life. There's no longer love and caring. You know, if there really was a real book, aside from the Bible could tell you some things about a marriage relationship, right? But it doesn't tell you everything about a marriage relationship. If there was a book that was boom, 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 black and white, do you know what kind of love relationship you'd have with your spouse? A robotic. Everything is like this. There's no free thought, even though some of us would like to control the other one, right? Some of us figured out, just give up that fight. Pray for them. And pray for them, not pray about them. God, don't say, God, they need a spanking. God's not as big on tattletales either. You know, that. How many of y'all remember in school it was always that deal, do you let the teacher know? Now you're a snitch, you're a tattletale, you're mom and dad. But then again, you also know they might get hurt. It's touchy. Anyhow, just a quick reminder, we're going to have War on the Floor here. So if you're needing a prayer request slip, you know, they're back here in the back. And we'll talk a little bit here this morning before we do pray. But I just want to remind you, we're going to do that this morning. Okay? Let's bless the tithe and offering. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we come to you today, Father, honoring you with our tithes and our offerings, Father. For it is through you that we live and we move. We have our being through you. And now, Father, this is just a small representation of that moving and living. Father, we present it to you together, pressed down, shaken together, holy. Bless it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. Yeah, you put that somewhere where you can find it. What were you asking? Yeah. Okay, praise God. Yeah, We're going to do War on the Floor today. Angela and I will not be here next week. As many of you know, Bob and Karen are selling their cattle, and it's out of town, and we are going to be there. So it might also mean we might not have some of the praise team here. But that don't mean you stay home next week. It's not about coming together and listening to electric guitars and drums and all this stuff. Oh, will it all? Oh, yeah. But all this stuff's going to be here. And I've already... Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting she's... But Joe's been working on something for y'all. So just get ready. I mean, I have to say this, Joe. I was talking, was it to Justin? Or I can't remember, but we were, or Jesse, I think it was. We were talking about history and you know, all of our history, all my history teachers that I remember were dull. But Joe, you got thumbs up. Because you love it. Well, he loves it. See, he loves history. Now, y'all can all remember. I mean, I loved history, but all of my history teachers were monotone. And they just thought, but it's important for us to know the things. And when somebody's passionate about something, you can tell it. So I don't say, well, Pastor's not going to be there. No, you'll be here. Joe's putting some hard work into this. I trust him. We got everything under control. There will probably come a day you won't know about it when I'm just not here for a weekend, because she and I are going to disappear for a weekend. We're just not going to tell anybody except the people covering for us. But this morning, before we pray, I want to kind of just rehash a little bit about what we were talking about last week, about praying God's will in our life. And praying in general, you know, last week we learned, you know, the Bible tells us, Jesus taught us that whatever you pray and you ask the Father for, believing, you will receive it. Well, we know that, and it's never really been taught because everybody assumed. We all know what that word does, right? Just, you know, if you don't know, ask somebody who said yes. When we assume that people know everything, we find out they didn't. They didn't understand something. And so when Jesus said, whatever you ask for, believing you receive it, you will have it. Well, there's a problem with that. God, I want somebody else's wife. Or I want somebody else's husband. I want the car somebody else has. I want the house somebody else. Now we're dealing with adultery, covetousness. These are sins. And so we say, well, God, you didn't give me this house. Well, listen, you don't take care of the trailer you live in now. Do you think God's going to bless you with a mansion? No, he's not. So if you can't take care of the car you've got now, don't believe God for a BMW or a Mercedes or a Lexus. You're not going to care for it. They're expensive to repair. And guess what? I don't care who makes it. They all need fixed. And just so you know, if you buy German, you usually have to have somebody who's trained in working on German cars. But we've learned that when we ask in prayer, believing, God, I need a new car. My budget is not Mercedes budget. It is General Motors budget. Okay, now you start balancing out with his will and what your life is. Well, Pastor, I'm just believing God's going to make me rich. But I've been told, people prophesied I'm going to be rich. Here, do yourself a favor with that prophecy. Take that prophecy, take it out, take it to the toilet, and flush it. Because if prosperity will ruin you, God will not bring it to you. Are you hearing me? So many people have gone astray with prosperity and riches, and they don't see that it took them away. I know people personally that as soon as they started having a little, they were poor. And then they started coming up and they started making a little bit more money. And the more money they made, the haughtier they got. They thought the world revolved around them. And that everybody knew who they were because they were blessed of the Almighty. No, you weren't. God's not going to give you something that's going to destroy you. I've never given my boys something or let them do something until I knew they could handle it. We started letting Justin and all of them drive when they got to a certain size. When they could reach the pedals themselves. The first time I drove a car, it was a 1964 and a half Mustang, and I had to sit on my dad's Bible to see over the steering wheel. I don't know if the fact that he had a Mustang when I was born or that was the fact of why I like Mustangs, because they really are uncomfortable cars, and the old ones are rust buckets and cost thousands and thousands to repair, but I still love them. But my dad did not let me start doing that until I got big enough. We started letting our boys do it. They start getting bigger. And one thing, I went a step further because nobody taught me how to back up until it was about time to get my driver's license. Dad said, you might want to practice backing up with your mirrors. Well, then why does everybody put their arm over the thing and go like this? You can ask my boys. I yelled at them. I said, don't you dare. You sit right here. It's what that mirror is for. Forget this one. It even exists for backing up. You look at, I taught them how to do it. They started developing responsibilities. Justin, all my boys, by the time they got their driver's license, could back a trailer up. Justin can back a trailer up now with the tractor. Because I taught them. They grew into maturity, and I taught them things. I would dare ask how many of you can regularly and quickly back a trailer up. Not many people. Without turning around. I had a corporal throw a rock at the windshield of the truck I was driving because I turned around. And I knew better. But I turned around because I wanted to see. And man, that rock come flying at that windshield. And if it, praise God for that windshield, because it would have hit me if we had had the windshield down. But God's not going to give you something you're not ready for yet. He's not going to bring you millions and millions of dollars if you are a constant spender or that you don't faithfully tithe. These are just brutally honest things. I'm not even going to say brutal because we use that where that is so over. We just got to be brutally honest. No, you're not, you liar. You just want to be mean. You know, love doesn't always do that. But God's not going to bring you all this stuff if you're going to walk away from Him. I wouldn't give my kids the keys to the car if I didn't trust them. You know, I've had people, oh, you know about your sons? I know exactly about my sons. I know how good of drivers they are. I had people when I was a new driver. Oh, people in the church, I heard about you driving. Seriously, when did you see me driving? The only time I get to drive is at 1 o'clock in the morning when my mom gets this wild hair that she wants some certain ice cream or something. And other than that, I did not get to drive everywhere like people thought. But I got rumors running all over the place of my driving. And yet I've only been in one accident, and I've been driving since, what is it now, 32 years? One accident, that ain't too bad. I've avoided many. You know, Jesse was in an accident, but Joshua said if Jesse wasn't the driver that he is, they had rolled the truck. So by teaching and then letting people have what they can handle, God will give you those great things. You want blessing? You better start doing what's necessary for blessing. You want a better house? Take care of what you've got. I don't care if it's a single wide. We lived in a single wide, and we kept that thing clean. And trust me, in North Carolina, with all the sand, we did not have top. They called it dirt. I'm like, this isn't even dirt. This is sand. I don't know how it's growing anything. But our house always had sand in it, and we were sweeping the floor all the time. Our dog, she was right out front. There was not piles of dog poop everywhere. We cleaned it up. We kept her clean. Take care of what you got if you're asking God for something greater. So God will trust you with it. You got to start earning the responsibility for the next level right now. In the military, they do not promote you. The job, if you're an E3, you are already starting to do the job of an E4 and so on. And so when I became an E4, I already knew how to do the job because I'd already been doing it. But then they started doing, hey, now it's time for you to start getting ready to do the job of an E5. And so we just kept increasing. So if you're not developing your abilities, God, I would like to have a BMW, or I would like to have a Mercedes. Take care of your car. Quit driving it like a maniac. Especially on some of these county roads. They're working, I get it. It's not going to change overnight. It's going to take some time. But you've got to start taking care of and appreciating what you've got. Because God's not going to move you into one thing and say, well, here, Jesse, I'm going to give you $1 million. Man, what's an 18-year-old going to do with $1 million? I've got a few ideas because I know him. But if we teach Jesse how to handle his money, how to take care of the right things, you know, he's not going to be bankrupt in a year. You know, that's why so many of these basketball players, particularly, they're bankrupt when they retire. Some of the football players, you know, they made millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they are broke when they retire. I mean, you'd think, oh, they got all this money. You know, they were paid $100 million to play. Yeah, they lived a $200 million life. Unless you're investing it and doing other things with it, yeah, you can have a big house. LeBron's got a nice home. He's got several nice homes. But he's also going forward with things. That's what we should be doing. We shouldn't be saying, well, you know, God, the blessing of Abraham is upon me. Do you know Abraham grew into his blessing? God didn't just say, "Ooh, boom, here, I'm giving you this entire country." He made him first walk it. He had to learn to trust God. If you can't trust God now making $30,000 a year, are you going to trust God when you can make $250,000? Oh, no, because you're self-sufficient now, right? That's in your mind, because you still, I got $30,000 mentality. Oh, man, I'm up here. Well, at $250,000, you went into some serious tax brackets. You changed. You think you're paying high taxes now? They get crazy once you get into that range. So now you got taxes. This is why so many celebrities are not paying their taxes. They're like, what happened to all my money? Was it Serena Williams, I believe, back when Bill Clinton was president? She wrote him a letter and said, "Dear Mr. President, could you find a way that I could keep more of my money?" Because she just started really becoming on the scene and making lots of money. And then the tax man came a-calling. And she's like, it all went here. You cannot just declare, well, I'm rich, and say, well, I'm going to treat people like dirt. Phil had something actually kind of profound to say today, believe it or not. He's not in here to hear this. But we were talking about him. You know, anybody that's been here for a minute knows that Phil loves kids. And when he starts on a kid when they're little and they get bigger, they still pick. He told me today, Justin just totally walked right into him, knocked him like that. And I said, yep. I said, you, they're growing into their own. But he said, you know, he's talking about people. How was it? People say, you bring out this in them. No, he said, what happened was it was already in you. It just came out. I didn't do this to you. What you did came out of you. because it's in there. You want to be rich? Start treating people right. I'm going to tell you right now, the measure of a man isn't the bank account when he leaves this earth. The measure of a man is the friends that showed up at his calling hours. That's the measure of a man. Too many millionaires have been buried with three people there. The people that didn't have two nickels to rub together treated people right. That's more important to me than I don't care if you got a private jet, Mercedes, I don't care. How you treat people should be more important. So when you're praying, say, God, change me. We're afraid to say that when you know that, because we know what's coming. That's why I say, don't ever pray for patience if you aren't serious. Because I promise you, as soon as you leave his door, you're going to get your opportunity to develop patience. It doesn't just come on you. You have to work on it. Just like anything, any talent you've been given. If you're musically talented, you have to work on it. You have to keep maintaining it to keep it sharp. The other day I got to draw something I haven't drawn in years. And I had to draw something. I had to draw it to scale so that somebody could see the differences on some trim. And I had to dig deep on some skills, because I can draw, believe it or not. But I had to call in on my scale, on shading and everything, to do this trim, because you cannot see detail straight on. And I'm looking, I was like, well, it looks good. I was kind of happy with it. Then I took a picture of it, folks, and it looked real because the camera caught something else. But I need to tell you how much fun I had doing that, because it brought something God gave me. Your natural skills, your natural abilities, if you don't use them, you get sluggish in them. You forget how to do them. No matter what it is, God's given you the ability to do. And so, but if you don't keep working on it, you don't develop it. Just like patience. If you don't keep working, you will not develop patience. You want understanding. If you don't work on understanding with people, you will not get it. There's so many things. If you're wanting to develop financial stability, financial understanding, first off, get with somebody who has those abilities. If you aren't listening to somebody on that, and I'm not talking about people trying to sell you a book. Okay? This is my soapbox on this stuff. If you're getting wealthy selling books to people about something, there is how you're getting wealthy. Do you know that Abraham rejected pay for getting Sodom and Gomorrah, all the inhabitants and their stuff back, and Lot? He refused to take pay for that. He said, you can pay the guys I hired, but you will not pay Abraham, because he said, I will not have anybody say, I made Abraham rich. He said, God will make Abraham rich. And you know what God did? God multiplied his herds. He multiplied his harvests. God did all that. God made Abraham rich. The king of Sodom did not. All those other people, they couldn't say that. Because I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, man, God, why didn't he? That could have been you blessing him. But Abraham didn't see it that way. He said, he saw it in a way that people today don't. Well, this is a platform God gave me. Abraham said, I'm taking away the platform, and this is how God's going to bless me. He's going to do it. You're not going to have a thing to do it. My blessing is not going to come from here. My blessing does not come from you. My blessing comes from God. Because I promise you right now, folks, if I jumped wholeheartedly onto a total prosperity message, not teaching you about the pitfalls of being extremely wealthy and things of this nature, this church would be 3 times its size. I'd have a lot of fake Christians in it too. People seeking wealth and not God. My Bible tells me to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the stuff that I really want I mean, there's things I think I want. Y'all ever been there? I think I want that. And then you get it and you're like, why on God's green earth did I get this? I really don't need it. It's a pain in the butt. And yet, we thought we needed it so much. But what I've always found is what Jesus taught us. If we seek first God's kingdom, he'll add the things that we're desiring. You want nice clothes? Seek God's kingdom first. He'll bring you to the deals. Do you know? I mean, here's one thing. There's nobody, honestly, on this planet. If you get to looking, the Jews, how much they own, how much money they have across this planet. We sit here and we look at the Arabs. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you need to understand, they're going to run out of oil eventually. Then, and especially with all the cars that they buy and wreck and the private this and that they got to have, they're going to run out of money. But the Jews who are operating on the blessing of Abraham, how many actors do you know are Jewish? More than you know. Just think of Adam Sandler and what that man. He's got his own companies now that produce movies. He's a Jew. He's operating on the blessing of Abraham, that whatever I touch is going to prosper. You will prosper greater if you're operating in the true blessing of Abraham. God will make me rich. Nobody's going to make me rich. I'm not taking up offerings to make me rich. When God blesses you, that's why the Bible says that he blesses you. He makes you rich without the sorrow that comes with it. Sorrow, people say, well, this is how you got your money. Oh, no, God gave it to me. No, you asked for it. Well, the Bible says if you don't have, you don't ask. You're supposed to ask God. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong that you bless people. By the way, that's what the Bible teaches. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. But you want true blessing, you watch what God does. You know, I've watched, how long have we known each other now, Pat? What, about 16 years? About 16 years. I've watched this man go through a lot of garbage. Heart attack. We hunt together. Seen all kinds of stuff. But I've seen him settle debts with people. Forgive debts with people. Settle debts with people. And they turn around and twist it on him. And he shared the profits off of that with those people. Even though he had to add stuff to it. But what I point out there, folks, is I saw him do that, and I saw God bless him. This happened, boom, because he continued to do that. Pat's not greedy. Now, I will tell you, Pat's tight sometimes, right? How old's the tree stand you got strapped to the back? That thing is old. The chain rotted off of it. He's frugal. Frugal, yeah. Jesse looked at that yesterday. He's like, what broke on the seat? I said, oh, no, that's been like that for years. So I ain't going to lie. Your butt goes to sleep when you're sitting in that one from time to time. But he's killed I don't know how many deer out of it. I don't blame him. I'm just saying this is a man who knows how to take care of his money. That's why he retired at 55. Yeah, God's blessed him. God blessed him. Pat doesn't sit here and say, oh, you know, I did all this. I've never heard Pat say, he said, God's blessed me. I know what Pat's lost and gained in the last 16 years on the market. Some of the hits he took, I was chihuahua. But God blessed him. You need to understand it. It does work. Because if I do remember right, you really didn't want to know sure about the tithing thing either in the beginning. He wasn't. Because Brenda came talk to us, and we told her. But Pat got on board with tithing, and the blessings opened up. I don't mean to put you guys on the spot, but you're in a great example of what I'm talking about. And there's other people in here too. Okay, don't get me wrong. If you listen, for tithing. When you tithe and you see God's blessing, that's him saying, I told you. Now listen. We've been there. Oh, but God, you know, if we just held on to our tithe, we could pay these bills. But we tithe and God turned around and blessed us so much more than what just paying that bill that month would have done. Because that bought us a little temporary relief. But we needed great relief, not temporary. Now, so when we ask God, believing, God, one, your first prayer every should be, change me. Make me into your image. That's seeking the kingdom of God first, because that's what the kingdom of God does. It changes people. It doesn't just put money in their pocket. Prosperity is great. You can do a lot of stuff with money. You can bless people. You can do whatever it is you need. You can bless your family. You can take care of your needs. God is not against that. I am not against that. I'm against when we're focused on money and prosperity over changing. If we do not grow and change as people, the money is only going to do, as Phil said, I just bring out what's already in you. That's what happens when prosperity comes without maturing, without people changing. You want real prosperity? You need to make sure that your soul prospers before your bank book does. You following me? Because when your soul prospers, well, you're not going to go out and do stupid things. I know I've told you the story about the guy who, in West Virginia, he won a huge lottery. I mean, like $150 million or something like that. Something just blow your mind. And he, first off, he said, I want to tithe. Well, praise God, he said, but my church can't handle this tithe. So I'm going to split the tithe up. First off, that's wrong. If that's where you go to church, that's where your tithe goes. It don't matter if it was $15 million. That's where your tithe went. But he also said, I want the church now to start using this particular outfit that operates in fear for every pastor. That's all they do. You got a prison ministry? And it's not about starting a prison ministry. It's about you going to jail for tax fraud. All they do is operate in fear. As a matter of fact, one of their customers, well-known man of God, went to jail on their advice, and they didn't stand by him. But that's dumb, that soapbox. But anyhow, the man did not change. He was not prospering. I don't believe God brought that money his way, because he got robbed of $44,000 in cash he had in his pickup because he hired two strippers to go home with him. One of them hit him in the head. The other one took the money and ran. How would you explain that to your pastor? The only reason it came out was because he filed a police report. Boy, you got motzy. You're professing to be a Christian. You hire two strippers. What happened, folks? His soul did not prosper, and the money only revealed what was deep down inside him. His flesh was totally running rampant. It wasn't crucified. It wasn't even stapled to the cross. He suddenly decided he was going to control the church. He was going to dictate his tithe. He was going to dictate this, this, and this. And then he lost all character because his soul did not prosper. Honestly, if your soul's not going to prosper, I don't want to see you rich. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven, because they don't prosper their souls. Which, by the way, I know people in this county who are very wealthy, and they are some of the most benevolent and kind people. And people look at them and they judge them because they're wealthy. Well, first off, if you work like they do, you deserve to be wealthy. Well, they're only wealthy because of this, this, and this. Yeah, because somebody was smart enough to capitalize on it, an opportunity. So you're going to fault somebody for being smart. I've just come to the conclusion there was a curse on my family there for a long time. My family, I came from a wealthy family at one time. At one time. Then something happened. My grandfather married into a poverty spirit. He was on welfare. Everybody coming up through there has fought tooth and toenail for money, except the other side, except my grandpa's brothers. And greed overtook them and tore them apart over the land that my great-grandfather had. Their souls didn't prosper. It tore them apart. We should not be like that. We should be, okay, God, you told me to give $10,000. I'm going to give this $10,000 because you said to do it. And I know you'll bless me. Because here's the stupid thing. We look at people, you know, if God tells us to bless somebody with $10,000, we suddenly start looking at them for the blessing back. Well, if God told you to sow the seed, why would you expect it to come from them? God's the ground you sowed into. Just saying. But we will prosper as our soul prospers. That's why I started realizing about a month or so ago now, I guess, that God had been working on me as far as there was still a little bit of anger on some things holding up. Anybody ever been there? You suddenly find a pocket of anger that you were like, where did that come from? You got to get it out. And I don't want that. I did not want that in my life. I don't want to be angry. I've wasted enough years being angry and didn't realize that that's what it was. I've lost them. They're gone. I can only pray that God restore what I've got left and change. I got to let this stuff go. And sometimes that means stepping away from those situations. And God will change you if you will let him. But I promise you, with things like anger and temper, they're put a slash in there, okay? Whatever that's called, forward slash, backslash, whatever. Just put the slash mark in there. Because temper, anger, they're deeply rooted in the same thing. And you're going to give opportunities to work on that. Just like the stupid, I'm still going to call it a stupid because it's a piece of iron, that 30-inch break that fell off the saw down in West Virginia and broke my toe. It still kind of hurts. I touched it the other day. It's a little sore. It takes a while. And then I set my big 8-foot fiberglass stepladder down on top of it. Just on that spot. Couldn't it hit the top of my foot? It had to hit right between the first and second knuckle. On the point. You know how they store with a point down? That's what hit it. It hurt. But God had already started showing me, you got to get control of this. And when I did that, I said, you know what? I'm not letting it go. I'm just letting it go. We're going to let it go. And I let it go. And God has been working on me more and more so that I can take care of everything. I don't want to get to heaven. And God said, man, you were almost there. You couldn't have kept your mouth shut when you set that ladder down. You had to throw something. I wasn't even the throwing type. I usually didn't throw stuff. As we prosper, our soul needs to prosper. We need to be growing and maturing. Because when the time comes, we will not do what needs to be done. So when we ask God for things, if we stand in faith believing for them, like I said, if you ask God for money, prepare to learn how to spend it frugally. I know, like I said, I know a little bit about Pat. I know his some of his teenage years, he's shared things with me. He didn't always have money. They may not have been in the same boat I was, but you know, there was a lot of things different. He's learned to do without things on purpose so that he can have things. That's the important part. But if we don't change, well, God, I really would like, I mean, I Folks, I came across a maybe it was a 2000 BMW convertible, or maybe it's a 2002. Oh boy, it was pretty. Dark blue, black top, chrome rims, $2,000. I was like, Lord, that's a pretty car. That's a pretty car. Lord, do I pull the trigger? No, because in all honesty, a convertible, you really should only drive when it's nice. People try driving them in the winter, and they wonder why they rot out and stuff, why they got problems. I didn't pull the trigger, which, by the way, you can actually drive Mercedes and BMWs and Lexuses and Infinities, Cadillacs. People can drive a nice-looking car and think it'd have a 500,000 miles on it, and it could be a little bit older. But you won't know. I said, nope, I'm not doing that yet. I got something else I want. Because there's one thing that convertible was missing. A V8. And a Mustang emblem in the grill. Most importantly. I've determined I'm going to have one, and it's going to have a V8. A loud V8. But I'm waiting on God's timing, not Art's timing. Art's timing is, I want it now, 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 now. God's timing is, Art, you know, I know what's coming in January. I know what's coming in February. I know what's coming in March and in April and in May. He knows what's coming our way every day, every second. Well, God, I want this. I want a car that gets 6 miles to the gallon. Our gas prices are going to go up. Do you really want that? Well, maybe not. I don't know that they aren't. God has not told me that. So don't go, oh, Pastor said God's gas prices are going up, not to buy a hot rod. For all I know, they could go down tomorrow, which would be nice. I got to fill my truck up. Y'all, with those 12-gallon tanks, be grateful. Once you go over 12-gallon, you get to 25-gallon, your gas bill hurts a little bit more at the gas pump. But praise God, I've been able to do that. So, if you've got, Tim, if you'll gather the prayer requests, we're going to pray. Like I said, and we're praying. I never went down this road, but the Bible tells us, right at the moment I'm drawing a blank on the reference, but it says that which is perfect will pass away, or our tongues will pass away. I can't think of where I'm butchering it right now, but. Is it 1 Corinthians 13? Okay, love chapter. He's talking about tongues, not the Bible being composed. That has been the general consensus for way too many years. When love is perfected, you know why? Because you know how to pray for somebody, because you love them. You start to grow and change. Not that the Bible was compiled or that every prophecy in the Bible has come past. It's talking about love. When our love is perfected, the Spirit prays because we don't know how to pray. That's what praying in tongues is. We don't know how to pray for something. And there are still times you need to do it. And I'm not saying I'm by any means perfect. My love is perfect yet, or else I wouldn't be getting all these love tests. But when we pray and God starts showing you how to pray for somebody, and through compassion, through love, then it changes. Because that's exactly what the Holy Spirit's doing through you right then. So I'm telling you this, not so that, well, I'll just keep staying here. I want you to grow in love. When your love abounds, listen, folks, you can look at the most horrific people and have compassion. Again, like we said, that doesn't mean you're going to like everybody personally. You're going to get along with everybody personally. But that you can love them. See, I can pray for Gloria through the Spirit and not understand a thing. Or I can allow God's love in me to rise up and he can show me, one, as her pastor and as her friend, how to pray for her. What it needs, what it is that we need to stand against, it's coming against her. Or what hurdle she needs to get over and how to get over it. Through love or the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's job is to make us grow in love. So why do we keep thinking that, well, we just, and by the way, the infilling of the Holy Spirit never leaves. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's revealing all that to you. That's the kind of stuff the Holy Spirit reveals what's to come. What to pray. Everybody's like, well, the Holy Spirit's going to show me the future. Well, if that's the case, the Holy Spirit, show me the numbers for the Mega Millions. Guess what's not happening? He ain't showing me the numbers. I ain't saying that I would go frivolously spend money and be a jerk, but I might. I don't know. I want to make sure all that's out, should I ever hit that. Pastor, gambling's a sin. According to the Catholic Church, it is. It's not in your Bible, by the way. No, it does not violate the law of love. Because if you're out spending your electric bill, you're stupid. That's all there is to that. If you don't have money to gamble, don't gamble. Which, by the way, the Catholic Church is the one that started the seven deadly sins, and the Catholic Church is the biggest bingo operator in the world. Just think about that for a moment. I'm not telling you to go out and gamble. If you don't want to gamble, don't gamble. I don't. Once in a blue moon, I'll buy a lottery ticket. I don't know. Pastor, what are you going to do with $500 million? Don't get me started, yeah. Don't get me started. $500 million, first off, there's about $50 million the church gets right off the bat. What can the church do with $50 million? I'm going to tell you right now, all of you get to go see your sponsored children. That's how my mind's working. Do you understand? Before, it was all about me. Which I ain't saying that I wouldn't go have a stable. Not with the kind of horses with their own brains. The kind of horses that run on four tires. And two tires. But I would make sure that God's kingdom got pushed forward. So don't, like I said, I'm not worried about it. God's got a billion-dollar dream for this community. If it has to happen little bit by little bit, then it's going to happen little bit by little bit. By the way, since I'm in Mount Gilead School District, can you imagine what that would do for the income tax? That would meet the budget for the next 20 years. Oh, wow. You can ask Angela. I've already told her, first off, I'm going to go to the commissioners. We're paving some roads, and the county ain't doing it. We're going to hire contractors who do this for every day. They're going to fix the roads. Get some bridges fixed that need to be fixed. I'm just saying this stuff so that you start thinking, well, what's that do? That blesses the community. We're supposed to be a blessing where we live. It don't mean we hold street fairs every week. I ain't saying anything wrong against them. That's just not been anything God led us to do. You want to change a community, hit things that really affect them. The schools. The parks. Well, Pastor, how are you preaching? You need to get up and you need to be preaching a message before they start every ball game. No, you don't. How about you be a Christian when you're around those people in the crowd instead of being a jerk? Did I offend anybody? If I did, I know who that shoe just hit. Y'all know that saying. You know which dog you hit in a pack of dogs by which one yelps when you threw the shoe. I said that to somebody who yelped one time. You call me a dog? I just about said if the shoe fits, but I told you I was a smart dog in school, Joe. I thought I was funny. Teachers didn't see it that way. And I wasn't even a class clown. That's how mild I was compared. All right, so we're going to pray for these prayer requests today, folks. We're going to believe for God to do great things. We need to believe. Listen, our country, if the last 2 weeks has not shown us how bad our politics are right now. Holy moly. This is serious hypocrisy. We, as believers, have the authority to take a stand in this. Amen? And we, as believers, will take a stand. At least this community, this set of believers will. Because we're not believing just for our own pocketbook. We're believing for the entire community. We're believing for our county, for our state, for our nation. That's how much we can change. Just one small church in Podunk, Morrow County. I'm glad to be from Podunk. I'm not a city guy. Small communities are great. However, I do have to find my eyeballs.